Matthew chapter 18, we're going to be looking at verses 21 through 35. Matthew 18, 21 to 35. A very important topic this morning, one that is close to home for all of us, I believe. The topic of Peter was asking Jesus about forgiveness. He was asking Jesus about how often do I have to forgive? Who do I have to forgive? When do I have to forgive? Those kind of questions. You know, sadly, forgiveness is foreign in many homes today, even in Christian homes. Parents are critical of others. They constantly blame others for faults. They never admit their own faults. They never forgive others. There's bitterness, rules in the homes. Unhappiness reigns. Unfortunately, this sinful way of life passes on to the children. And we live in a world full of unforgiving, bitter people. And that's tragic, especially when it infiltrates Christian homes. And perhaps you've been grown up in a home where there was no forgiveness. Or there was bitterness and harbored anxiety toward one another. And Satan wants that to pass on to you and carry on in your life. And God wants you to get rid of that and have relief from that. God wants to set you free. As we look at this section this morning, we're going to examine Peter's questions, Jesus' answer, and then Jesus' application. And in each of these, I want us to find things in it that can be of help to us. So first of all, let's look at Peter's questions in verse number 21. Peter's question, verse number 21. Then came Peter and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? All right, so he asked a very important question. How often should I forgive my brother? Now, what brought this into Peter's mind? Well, the context here, you look up in verse number 15, and Jesus had just been talking about offenses. And verse number 15 says, Moreover, if thy brother trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. So Jesus had just told them that we live in a world that's full of offenses. And folks, we can't avoid that. All right? The sinful world we live in is going to have offenses. There's going to be people that do things that I don't like or you don't like, or they're going to offend us or maybe hurt us in some way. They're going to say something to us maybe that isn't nice. There's going to be things that they do that will hurt us and make us grieve or make us even sorrowful inside and maybe even give us anxiety because of these things that they do. We live in a world full of anxiety and problems and offenses. We cannot avoid that. And Jesus said here, when a brother offends us, what are we to do? What do we normally do? Here's what normally happens, I think. All right? Somebody offends me, and I say, oh, God makes me mad. I go home, my blood pressure hits the sky, and I'm upset, and I'm riled up, and I'm irritated and angry. Do I ever go to him and talk to him about it? No, you kidding? I'm not going to do that. I don't want to do that. I mean, you know, humble myself and go talk to him about that? No, I don't want to do that. And yet that's exactly what Jesus said we're supposed to do. If someone offends us, we're supposed to go to them and say, you know, what you did or what you said hurt me. And we need to have a talk about that. And sometimes that person may be really, you know, go away and leave me alone. I don't want to hear about it. That's a possibility. And when that happens, what did Jesus say to do? He said, then take one or two others with you. Go get a friend and say, would you come with me? I need to talk to him or her because there's been an offense and they don't want to talk about it. And so you got a witness or two that will go with you and you talk to them and say, we need to talk about this situation. And if they still are hardened about it, says, I don't want to talk about it. Just leave me alone. I'm not going to apologize for anything. What I did was fine. You don't like it, too bad. Well, then he says, take it to the church. Now, that's assuming that they're part of the church. I mean, if it's your neighbor, obviously you don't, you know, bring it to your church and say, my neighbor next door to me won't get along with me, so I'm bringing it to the church. That's not going to do much good. So, but he's assuming that it's part of the congregation. Two people aren't getting along. And he says, take it to the congregation and talk to them about it. And what were they supposed to do? They were supposed to say to him, all right, now, come on now. Look at this situation. What you did wasn't right. You need to deal with this. And if he still says, no, I'm not going to deal with it, then God said that they are to treat him as a publican and a heathen man and a publican. Now, what does that mean? Well, basically, how are we supposed to treat the heathen around us? And publicans were the tax collectors that were despised people. How are we supposed to treat them? You know, you see them, you walk on the other side of the street and stick your nose at them and yell at them or call them dirty names. No, you just stay away from them. All right? Stay away from the people that are troublemakers in our world. And that's basically what God said here. He said, if a person won't get it right, you stay away from them. You leave them alone because they won't get right. And God will have to deal with them. Now, that's an important thing for us to remember. And we forget that we serve a mighty God. God is able to deal with the heart of the person who dealt wrong with us, even if the person won't deal with it themselves. And there's times when we cannot make a person do right, we cannot make a person apologize, we cannot make a person say they're sorry, but we can deal with our side of it and leave the rest of it to God. That's what Jesus was telling them. But with this in mind, Peter then says to Jesus, well, Jesus, how often should if my brother sin against me and I forgive him? How often should I do that? And, you know, as he's thinking over this, this is an important thing for us to think on. And this morning I'm going to ask you to do something that may be a bit painful, but I want you to do it anyway for your good. I want you to think back over your life of incidences. I'm not talking about ones that have been dealt with and covered and taken care of properly by forgiveness and that. I'm talking about situations where someone has hurt you and you've never forgiven them and nothing's been settled. You've just kind of pushed it under the rug and try to forget about it. But deep down inside, every time their name is mentioned, you kind of grit your teeth and think, I don't like that person, you know. And there's an irritation there every time that comes to our mind. And so we need to be careful about that. And think with me. Go back over the years and ask yourself, when has that happened? Are there uncovered situations? Are there undealt with situations in your life? And if there is, you need to focus on that this morning because that is what God wants us to deal with. And that's what Peter was asking. He says, Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother when they sin against me? And sinning against us is going to happen. It will happen. I've been offended. You've been offended. I've probably offended some of you. That's part of life. And it's often not intentional, but sometimes we offend people. But when that happens, God says, here's the way to deal with it. And Peter was asking a very important question. Another question to ask yourself is, have I forgiven all those who have offended me? Have I forgiven them? Genuinely forgiven them. And Jesus goes on and explains in detail at the end of the message how to make sure we've done that. Peter was asking a very important question, a question that was very practical. How many times should my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Oftentimes when we do right, we may offend people. Peter wasn't talking about that. You know, if you do something that's right, and you know, and your boss asks you to do something that's wrong and say, I'm sorry, I can't do that because I'm a Christian, I'm not going to do that, that was wrong, and that offends him and he gets angry with you, well, that's not what Peter was talking about. Peter was talking about when someone does something wrong to you and you have to deal with it. And they have hurt you in some way, they've said something to you in some way, they've treated you bad in some way, they've done something that offended you. He says, how many times do I forgive that person for doing that? That sinful offense. Peter wasn't trying to defend unforgiveness. He wasn't trying to defend bitterness. He wasn't trying to defend hatred or revenge. He wasn't saying, God, I want to be able to keep on being revengeful to you. I don't want to forgive. Peter wasn't saying that. He was being very open. He said, Lord, how many times am I supposed to do this? And then we see Peter's second question. Till seven times? Should I forgive them seven times, Lord? Now we look at that and think, well, I wonder why he chose seven. Well, I'm not exactly sure why he chose the number seven, but one thing that A.T. Robertson points out that I think is significant in the Jewish culture, he said Peter thought that it was generous as the Jewish rule was three times to forgive. And they based that on the book of Amos, chapter 1, verse 26, where he says that they've offended three times and four and that kind of thing. So he says the Jewish had this idea that if we offend, you know, if they've offended me three times, I forgive them three times, then number four, I'm not going to forgive them anymore. That's the end of the story. And Peter says, well, Lord, if I did it seven times, how is that? Is that pretty good? And so I think Peter was asking a generous question here. He wasn't trying to be wrong. I mean, in Peter's mind, he's thinking, all right, if my wife offends me by, you know, saying something cutting to me seven times and I forgive her for that, that's very generous, Lord. Isn't that generous? Or if maybe it's my neighbor, he steals something from my garden, and I forgive him seven times for that. Lord, that's a big thing. I mean, most Jews would only do it three times. Lord, I'm giving them four extras on that. Certainly that is something that is commendable. Or maybe it's his friend that has been unkind to him seven times, and each time I've forgiven them for that. What do I do when I run out of the seven times then, Lord? What happens then? And this is where Peter asks this very sincere and genuine question. One that is helpful to us. How many times are we to forgive? How many times is that person that has annoyed you supposed to be forgiven? How many times can your spouse do the same thing again and again and you forgive them? How many times can your children do the same thing you've told them not to do again and again, and you forgive them? Well, it's an important question. And Jesus' answer is somewhat surprising. We see in verse number 22, Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Jesus said that Peter's generous proposal was not sufficient. He said, Peter, instead of seven times, you need to multiply it by 70. Do it 490 times. Now, I really don't think that Jesus had in mind, all right, Peter, keep your calculator in your pocket and you know, keep watch, you know, tabs on this and make sure, you know, it's up to 430 times. I'm almost there and I'm going to get him. No, it wasn't that at all. It was just more the idea, forget it, Peter. Keep on doing it. Endlessly. It is not something that we continue to tally up and try to get revenge or get back at them or justify our bitterness. He was not saying, Peter, after 490 times, then you can justify your bitterness. Then you can justify being angry with them. Then you can justify that hate that you have in your gut for them. Then you can justify all that because you've waited 490 times and you've forgiven them 490 times. And then 491 times, now you can be revengeful. That's okay. That wasn't what Jesus had in mind. He was simply saying, we need to have unlimited forgiving. Jesus gave his disciples a similar answer in another occasion in Luke chapter 17, verses 3 and 4, when he says, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in the day return again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. So Jesus said, even if it's seven times in one day, we're to forgive. Jesus was not ignoring the hurt and the pain you suffer. I know some of you may be saying, but Pastor, what you're saying, you just don't know the situation. You don't know how bad it hurt. You don't know how much it's tore me up inside. You don't know how much this has caused me grief and anxiety and grief. It just tore me inside out. It does. Sometimes it's very painful. Sometimes it's very painful. And Jesus was not saying, just ignore the pain. Or he wasn't saying, you're just dreaming, it doesn't really exist. He wasn't saying that at all. Sinful offenses can be very emotional and very painful. No question about that. And Jesus was not playing down that. But then he told a parable to explain. And this parable is very key to the subject of forgiveness. As we look at this parable, I want to read through the parable first, and then we're going to come back and look at it piece by piece. Beginning at verse number 23. Therefore, Jesus says, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. Right now, he's talking about the kingdom of heaven. Remember, we've talked about the kingdom of heaven in the past. It refers to the reign of Christ in our lives as Christians in the church age. All right, so he's saying right now, this is how we're supposed to respond. Verse number 24, and when he had begun to reckon, all right, so this king, he starts to reckon with his servants, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and he loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And the fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but he went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. And when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then the Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredst me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him unto the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. Now, as we consider what Jesus said, the king in the story, the king in the parable here, was taking an inventory of his finances. And he called all of his servants in, and he's looking at the records and looking at the information that he has. Maybe the auditor had just gone through and he says, something's not matching up here, we got to straighten some things out. So he calls him in. The first guy comes in, and he has, in some way, whether he stole it or embezzled it or just overspent, somehow, he owed the king 10,000 talents. Now, he doesn't tell us what the talents were, whether it was gold or silver, and it doesn't really matter any way you want to look at it. It was millions of dollars. It was not a small little debt. It was millions of dollars. And so the king says, all right, this has got to be dealt with. In verse number 25, he says that he commanded that he be sold, and his wife was to be sold, and his children to be sold, and all that he had was to be sold, and payment was to be made. The whole family was going to become slaves for the rest of their lives until payment could be made of those millions of dollars that had been embezzled or misused in some way. And the servant then, seeing his terrible plot, he bowed down. He worshipped the Lord. And he begged for patience. Now, I don't know what he figured patience would do. I mean, if you owe millions of dollars and you're just a servant, the chances of paying off millions of dollars are not too great. But he begged for patience. And he said, please have mercy with me. Please be patient with me. Now, he did not say, would you please forgive my debt? He just asked for patience. But the king, his lord, said to him, all right, listen, I love you, and I have compassion on you, and I'm sorry for you. Listen, I'm just going to forgive your debt and write paid in full. on your debt. It's gone. And he was set free of huge debt that would have taken him a lifetime and more to pay for. It was covered. Gone. And then that wicked servant went and he found one of his fellow servants that owed him 100 pence. Now, a pence was about a day's wages. So about 100 days' wages, a little over 3 months. And that's, you know, several hundred dollars. Significant, but nothing like his millions of dollars. And he caught him by the throat and said, pay me what you owe me. He says, oh, please, have mercy on me and be patient and I'll pay you. No, I'm not going to be patient with you. Pay it now or I'm going to put you in jail. He said, oh, I can't. Please be merciful. Pay. No. And he threw him in prison until he could pay the debt in full. Now, I don't know how you're supposed to pay the debt when you're in prison. But, you know, they didn't pay their prisoners. So I'm not sure how he was going to get help there. But he said, I'm going to throw you in prison because of what you did. You owe me a few $100 and I'm going to put you in prison because of that. Then news gets back to the king. The king is furious. And rightfully so. And he calls in that servant. He said, listen to me. I forgave you millions of dollars worth of debt because you asked me to be merciful and patient with you. And I forgave it all. And then you turned around and went to your fellow servant who owed you a few dollars. And you put him in prison and wouldn't forgive him. How dare you do such a thing? He says, all right, that paid in full that I wrote over your account, I erase it. You're going to the tormentors until you pay every debt of it. Now, he didn't say he was going to sell his wife and children and everything he had. He says, you're going to the tormentors now. You're going to be tormented until you pay that debt. Now, what was Jesus trying to teach? Well, as we look at this carefully, we can see exactly what Jesus was getting across. Jesus was telling Peter and the other disciples to think. To think. They must forgive every person every time because God had forgiven them a greater debt. My friend this morning, if you know Jesus is your Savior, God has forgiven you a debt that you cannot fully comprehend the size of. To spend an eternity separated from God in hell paying for our sins is priceless. And Christ paid it all. He forgave our debt in full. He didn't say, well, you're going to spend, you know, 20 years in purgatory paying off your debt and maybe then I'll feel sorry. No, there's no such thing as purgatory and he didn't say that. He simply said, you're forgiven because you've asked me to forgive you. And by the blood of Jesus Christ, he's washed us clean. And that huge debt that he's forgiven us. And then someone else comes to us and does something unkind to us. And says, I'm not going to forgive them. They hurt me and that bugs me and I'm not going to forgive them. And Jesus says, think. God the Father has forgiven you everything. For all eternity. And you won't even forgive your brother or sister or friend or enemy. This minor thing that they did? See, it wasn't minor. Compared to your eternal debt in hell, it was minor. Compared to our huge debt, it was minor. But and Jesus was, again, he was not saying, oh, your sorrows and your pain are not important. He wasn't saying that at all. He knows our hearts. He knows your heart down inside. He knows how badly you've been hurt by that person that said that or did that or treated you in that way. He knows how that hurts. And he compassionately cares about that. But that's not the point. He's saying the point is not how much you hurt. The point is how much have you been set free from? You've been set free from everything. And therefore, you have an obligation to set those free that have hurt you in these ways that seem huge to you, but really in reality, compared to eternity in hell, they're minor. They're minor. And again, he wasn't underestimating the grievances there. He wasn't justifying the offender. He was simply saying, we must forgive. We must forgive. this example that Jesus gives of his compassion and forgiveness. This king in the story obviously is picturing Jesus Christ and God the Father and the great debt that they paid for us out of love and compassion. Now, how does Jesus make the application? His application is very convicting. Verse number 35. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. What did he say? He said, if you refuse as a Christian to forgive someone of their debt to you, that hurt that they gave you, that grief, that pain, that agony that they caused you, if you refuse to forgive them, then he says your Father in heaven will not forgive you. And he didn't say that just forgive them. He said you need to forgive them from the heart. He was not talking about an empty words. Oh, I forgive you. We've probably all seen children like that, you know, trying to teach our children the importance of forgiveness. All right, come here, son. You hurt your sister, or you hurt your brother, and you know, go tell them they're sorry. Go tell them you're sorry. Sorry. They were no more sorry than anything. They just got the job done. He says, not doing it that way. He says, do it from the heart. He says, deep down inside, because God loves me, I'm going to forgive them. Because God forgave me, I've got to forgive them. Even though it hurt deeply, I've still got to forgive them because God loved me enough to forgive me. Folks, I fear that many times we, and I put, when I say we, I'm at the top of the list. We fail to grasp the enormity of the forgiveness that God has given to us. I deserve the lake of fire forever. And so do you. Our sins are guilty before God. And we cannot fix them. We cannot work hard enough to somehow merit God's mercy. It is God's great gift. And He forgave us all our sins. You know, that is a wonderful truth about the gospel. When you're sharing the gospel with someone, you don't need to ask them, all right, first of all, I'd like to share the gospel with you, but before I do, tell me how bad of sins you've done, and I'll see whether God can forgive you. Oh, I've been really, really bad. You know, I murdered somebody, and I hated somebody, and I did some other wicked things. Oh, I'm sorry, mate. God's grace doesn't cover that. I'll go talk to somebody else. You never have to say that because God is able to forgive any sin. If they will come to God and say, God, I was wrong. I was guilty. Oh, God, have mercy on me. And God will forgive. And that is a wonderful truth. It doesn't matter how big our sins are or how small they may be, God will forgive those who humble themselves before Him and ask for His cleansing and forgiveness. That is a wonderful blessing. The same is true there in 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God says, even as a Christian when you do wrong, God will forgive you if you'll go to Him and say, God, I was wrong. What I did was wrong. It was not right. Would you please forgive me? And He will. He'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And God says, that's what I want you to do to your fellow man. I want you to forgive them like I forgave you. And we say, oh, but that's so hard. It's so hard. But God says, that's what He wants, and He'll give us strength. How can we forgive from the heart? You say, Pastor, I just don't get it. I don't think I can forgive that person from the heart. Then what I would suggest you do, not just suggest, I'm urging you to do this. You read this parable again and 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 again until it sinks into your heart and you can see what God has done for you and you can cry out to God and say, oh God, thank you for what you did for me. I must forgive. I must forgive. If you're struggling to forgive, you keep reading that parable until God breaks your heart. Because God says we must forgive. Because He has forgiven us. We have sinned repeatedly. And yet God has forgiven us. I don't know about you. But there's some sins that God's probably just said, if He was counting up the 490, I've passed that long time ago. You know, how come you did that again? I don't know, Lord, but I did. I'm sorry. How come you said that nice, unkind thing again? I don't know, but I did. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. What if God treated us like that and He said, all right, I've been tallying it up for all your life. You're way past your 490. I'm not going to forgive you anymore. That's it. I'd be in trouble. You probably would too. And God says here, He forgives us. Did God have any obligation to forgive me? No. He doesn't owe me anything. I haven't done anything to deserve it. I haven't earned it. I haven't done anything that God would look at me and say, oh, what a nice guy. I'm going to forgive him. No. He forgave me because of His compassionate love. Wasn't obligated to. Did I deserve it? Absolutely not. And yet He forgave me and He forgave you out of His compassion. And He said, that's what I want you to do. And if we refuse to forgive others every time that they sin against us, God will not forgive us. He said He'll do to us like that king did to that man. Turn him over to the tormentors. What does that mean? Well, there's probably a lot of different interpretations, but I think one of the most obvious is that a person who is unforgiving will be tormented by bitterness and resentfulness and unhappiness and anxiety and most of all, loss of fellowship with God. You cannot fellowship with God if you will not forgive others. You can't. You can't. And that will torment you. And some Christians go through most of their life tormented. And they live miserable lives. Why? Simply because they won't forgive somebody. They hurt me so much, I'll never forgive them. I remember years and years and years ago, I was preaching, not here, at another place. And I was it was kind of a Sunday school class, and there was a little bit of interaction. A lady right in the middle of the Sunday school class raised her hand and said, well, what if I can't forgive somebody? And I said, well, God says you're supposed to forgive. I will never forgive them. She tells everybody in the whole class, you know, I'll never forgive that person. Didn't say who it was, but it's immaterial. I felt sorry for her. If she went to the grave saying, I'll never forgive, she was a miserable person inside, tormented by guilt and revenge and bitterness and anxiety and hate and revenge and loss of fellowship with God. We don't want that. You don't want that. God doesn't want that. And God's application here is compelling. Our world is so full of Christians who are bitter and revengeful and miserable and too proud to humble themselves and forgive. That's really what it comes down to. We're too proud. I will not go to them and say I'm forgive them after what they did to me. That's pride. Humble ourselves. What did God do for us? He came to this earth and died on a cross. One of the most cruel, terrible deaths known to man. For my sin. He hadn't done a thing wrong. It was all my fault. And He did it for me. And He did it for you. Now He says, I want you to forgive. If that describes you and your need, it doesn't have to. continue that way. It doesn't have to. You can forgive. You can forgive, and God can remove that bitterness and revenge and miserable feeling that you have in your heart if you will humble yourself and forgive from the heart. Now, folks, forgiveness doesn't justify what was done. Forgiveness doesn't mean that that person, the thing they did was okay. It doesn't mean that at all. It simply means I'm not going to hold them guilty about that anymore. I'm not going to hold that over them anymore. I'm going to turn it over to God. If they have done wrong and it deserves judgment, God will take care of that. And forgiveness is really saying, God, I trust you to take care of this from now on, and I'm going to give it to you, and you take it, and I don't want to think about it anymore. I'm not going to be burdened about it anymore. I'm not going to be angry with them anymore. I'm not going to be hateful and revengeful toward them anymore. I'm going to forgive, and you take care of it, God. If there's something that needs taken care of, you deal with it. I'm done. I'm not going to take care of it anymore. I'm going to be at peace. And God will give you a peace. You don't have to carry that burden. God wants to take it from you, but you have to forgive from the heart. It can't be just words come from your head. It needs to be genuine deep down inside. Where deep down inside you say, God, I've been wrong. I've been harboring that bitterness. I've been angry and resentful toward that person for all this time. And God, I'm finished. I forgive them. You take the issue. You take care of it. And I leave it with you. I'm done with it. God, I forgive them. That's what it needs to be, but it's humbling. But it's got to be. You can get rid of those tormenting trials and guilt and burden and anxiety and hate and miserable feeling inside if you will forgive. Forgive every person one by one for every sin that they've committed against you. It's hard, but it's necessary to have peace with God. If you need to forgive someone today, do not leave this room until you bow your head before God and say, God, I forgive them from the heart. And then confess to God your sin of unforgiveness and bitterness. And God will restore your fellowship to Him. And then the hardest part is contacting that person and saying, I forgive you. They might not even want to hear about it. They might not want to talk about it. They might not even want to admit that they did anything. That's not the important thing. If you just simply say, you have done this in the past to me, and it has hurt me, and I've been bitter toward you, and God's convicted me, and I'm sorry, and I'm forgiving you, and I want you to know you're forgiven. That's all you got to do. Now, that's hard. I shouldn't say all. That's a lot, because it's tough. It's humiliating. It's humbling. But it's important. We've got to do it. And you know, sometimes people say, well, the person that hurt me so bad that I've been bitter toward, they've been dead for 10 years. What do I do now? Well, that does pose a problem. But here's one thing, and I know maybe it's more psychological than it is biblical, but I think there's some truth to it. Sometimes it helps us just emotionally to just get out a piece of paper and you sit down and you write a note, dear whoever, and I've been bitter towards you and I've hated you and I've da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And now God's convicted me and I forgive you completely. Write it down. Sign your name. And then burn it. Or destroy it. Or throw it away. They're not going to read that. I'm not suggesting that wherever that person may be in heaven or hell, that they're going to get your little letter and read it and say, oh yeah, they forgive me. I'm not trying to be weird about it. I'm just saying sometimes it helps to release your emotions to just write it down. Get it out of your system. Then destroy the paper and leave it behind. It's been done. It's been forgiven. Because really, the greatest part of forgiveness is between you and God. When you come to God with a genuine broken heart and say, God, I forgive that person. You take care of it. I'm done with it. I'm not going to feel bitter about them anymore. And then go on with life. And God will lift that burden that has weighted you down. He'll take away the bitterness. He'll take away the hatred. He'll take away the hurts and set you free. That's what you need. That's what you want. And it's available if you'll forgive. So Peter was asking a very powerful question. Lord, how many times do I have to forgive? If I forgive 7 times, is that okay? Jesus said, no, Peter, it's not okay. You got to forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive, just like God has forgiven you again and again and again and again and again and again and again. Forgive and forgive and forgive. Always, every time, every situation, forgive. And leave the results with God. God will take care of it if it needs to be taken care of. Trust Him. Trust Him. Will you trust God enough to leave it in His hands so that you can forgive? Some of us want to hang on that and say, you know, we wouldn't say it outwardly, but inwardly we're saying, I don't trust God to deal with him or her as he needs to because they deserve. You know, the truth of the matter is, bitterness hurts you more than it hurts the other person. Sometimes it doesn't hurt the other person hardly at all, but it just tears you up and erects your spiritual walk with God. The devil wants you to think that if you hang on it and you try to deal with it and you try to punish them and you try to get at even with that person, that somehow it's going to work. It doesn't. All it does is destroys you. But God's way of forgiving them and letting it go and let God take care of the situation, God sets you free. And God will take care of them in a perfect way, just like it needs to be done. And you need to trust Him to do so. So this morning, forgiveness is often the root of bitterness and resentment, anxiety, hate and revenge, miserable feelings and unhappiness, and a lack of fellowship with God. Do not let unforgiveness ruin your life. Don't let it take away your fellowship with God. If you need to forgive someone, do it today. Start right now as we bow in prayer in just a moment. From your heart, from the depths of your heart, you cry out to God and say, oh God, I forgive him. I forgive her. I will forgive. And God, you take care of the situation and give me the grace to tell them that I forgive them. Deal with it now. Don't put it off. If you've come from a family of unforgiveness and bitterness and resentment and hatred, don't let that roll over into your life. Get the victory over it. Let God set you free. If you've never received God's forgiveness, and eternal life, that's what you need today. That's what we need to even begin this, is we need God's forgiveness. If you've never received that, I urge you to do so today. And you know, we haven't really touched on this side of it, but it goes hand in hand. When we've done wrong, we need to be willing to say, I was wrong, would you please forgive me? That would help the situation so much for everybody. What if that person that has hurt you so bad that it's caused you grief would have come to you and say, I was wrong. What I did to you was wrong. Would you please forgive me? It would have made things a lot easier. Oh, you may still have had trouble forgiving, but it would have made it easier. And that's God's way. God said, if you do wrong, you go see the person you wronged. Tell him you're sorry. Ask him to forgive you. So it goes both ways. But forgiveness is very, very crucial to the Christian life. Let's not leave today without dealing with forgiveness.